started.
All right. Well, thank you very much. All right. With that, we'd like to call the Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, regular board meeting of the Alliance Regional Water Authority Board of Directors to order. And, Graham, if you'd do the roll call, please.
Well, Mayor Houston, as I mentioned a little bit ago, she's going to be a few minutes late. She's talking about another meeting. Will join us whenever she's free. Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Here.
Mr. Blake Meffendorf?
Here.
Welcome, Blake. Councilmember Rocky Moore, I have not heard from. Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Mr. Earp?
Here.
Mr. Taggart?
Here.
Mr. Datz?
Here.
Councilmember Scheel?
Here.
Mr. Clack?
Here.
Mr. Allen?
Here.
All right, and we still have one vacancy for the City of San Marcos, but we do have quorum.
Thank you, Graham. With that, moving to item C, seating of newly appointed director.
From City of San Marcos, for Kenyon Regional, we've got Mike Taylor and Pat Allen. And then in City of Buda, Blake Neffendorf replacing Kenneth Williams. And so all of these terms are set to extend until April of 2023. So new three-year terms for each of these positions. So as our tradition, we need to do the oath of office, which is in the packet. Really, in this case, since we're not able to do it face-to-face, what we'll need is to have you sign those and have them notarized, and then I will collect them from you so that we've got those for our files to show that you took the oath of office. So, Chairman Betts, I know we didn't have a chance to coordinate on this. I don't know if you want to do the kind of ceremonial, go through the oath of office, or just wait for get the notarized versions.
You know, I don't think it would take too much for us to, do the oral oath. Does everybody, let's see, well, I was remiss in Mayor Houston. Mike, Blake, was Pat here?
Yes,
he was.
Okay. Each of y'all have that oath in front of you?
I do. Yes.
Okay. Well, do you want to do this as a group? And whenever y'all are ready, I state your name.
Hi, Blake Neffendorf.
Firm
lawyer.
That I have not directly or indirectly paid, offered or
for your promise to pay. Contributed or promised to contribute any more or valuable to gain or promised any public office or employment as a reward to secure my appointment or confirmation thereof. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the duties of office of Board of Director of the Alliance Regional Water Authority.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of this state, so help me God.
Thank you very much. That
was beautiful.
Yes, it's a learning experience here. Thank you all, and congratulations.
Just to follow up on that, I will send each of you just that oath separately so that you can fill that out and then get that back to me at your convenience.
Okay.
Thank you.
In return of that, because I don't even know where to mail stuff to you.
I'll send you my mailing address.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, Graham, did we have any public comments?
We don't, but we actually have item C2. for the election.
I apologize. We sure do. Go ahead.
All right. So, along with in May of seating the new board members, we also have the election of our officers. We have four positions, and in your packet are the descriptions of those positions: the chair, vice chair, treasurer, and secretary. Historically, we've had that where each of one of the four sponsors are represented in those seats, but there's no requirement in our bylaws that way. That's just kind of been the tradition that we've utilized in the past. I haven't spoken with anybody. I assume those that have already been serving, which is Chairman Betts, Vice Chair has been Mayor Houston, Secretary has been James Earp, and then the Treasurer was Kenneth Williams. So unless they speak otherwise, I believe the current sitting officers are willing to stay on, but I have not verified that, so maybe I shouldn't speak for you.
Or is this the Cheerio one? Yeah. Well, in the spirit of how we've done things in the past, who's not here today?
Mayor Houston and Councilmember Rockymore.
I'm just kidding.
Can we move to reappoint them to the same positions by acclamation?
I believe that'll be fine. The one position we will need to fill is treasurer, since Kenneth Williams is no longer on the board. So we'll deal with that.
I move to reappoint chair, vice chair, and what was the other one?
Secretary.
With the same people that are in it currently.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any other discussion? Now, Graham, rather than having the roll call vote on both of these, do we want to try to appoint the treasurer for this motion now, or have a separate motion for that?
I was going to do a separate motion.
Okay. Not a problem. Okay. Is there any other further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Graham, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Okay. I don't believe Mayor Houston has joined us. And Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Littlebridge?
Aye.
Mr. Methendorf?
Aye.
Councilmember Rockymore, you've been able to join? Okay. Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shields?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. I move to elect Blake Methendorf to the position of our treasurer to replace Ed Williams.
Mr. Ramos, I second.
Thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. Graham, would you please do a roll call vote?
All right. Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Littlebridge?
Aye.
Mr. Nessendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield? Excuse me.
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
right. Welcome, officers. That was approved on 10-0 vote. I noticed Blake hesitated a minute, so I'm sure he was happy with his first meeting already getting put on as an officer.
That's right. I'll do whatever I need.
Congratulations, Blake, and thank you.
The treasurer has to do the budget and the audit, and it's budget and audit time, so enjoy.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy summer.
Good luck, huh? Good luck to the new guy.
Yep. Secretary just has to sign stuff, so, you know, it's not so bad.
All right. Well, thank you all. With that, item D, public comment period, and I believe we have none. And moving on to item E, the consent agenda.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to make a motion to consent the approval of the minute of the work session until April 22nd, 2021.
There was a little bit of an echo there. Was that motion for the entire consent agenda? I'm sorry.
Yes, it was.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Ramos, I second.
It looks like it's Pat Allen's microphone that's keying up.
Sorry, fellas.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. Thank you. Graham, would you do a roll call, please? Roll call vote.
Sure. Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Littlebridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Herr?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Scheel?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Approved on a 10-0 vote.
Thank you very much. We don't have any public hearings or presentations, so we're moving on to item G. Items for discussion, not requiring action. Is there, unless there's a need otherwise, I think we'll assume that everything is in everybody's packet and we can continue on. Does anybody have any items that they need to discuss or would like to discuss for section G? Okay, very good. Moving on to item H, executive director and legal counsel reports.
I have just a few things to report on. Our SWIFT application that we made, the financial application, is deemed administratively complete. We had a few technical questions that came back in the middle of last week. We responded to those by the deadline of yesterday afternoon. And it looks like the CWDB staff is working on their letter of approval to the board for consideration. So that's moving forward. Continue forward and tracking that and keeping on top of that. We still haven't heard anything yet on the rates and what subsidies they would like to offer us. And so, again, as soon as I get information on that, I will pass that along. A quick note on sponsors' water projections. As we do every year, we accumulated data from the sponsors based on what they expect to utilize from water in the next several years and looking out even beyond to 2070. It does look like we're going to have a request from County Line, especially utility districts, to utilize the shared water agreement that we have in place with all our members. So we'll be working through that process here in the next several months as we have laid out in our shared water policy. Somebody else looks like, obviously we already have Buda dealing with the shared water. All of our other entities look like they're set for a considerable period of time. Finally, our public relations RFQ. Our committee that you appointed last meeting met, reviewed the four submissions, and has selected C, D, and P. They're out of Austin for our new public relations firm. Be working on an agreement with them and expect to bring that back to you for consideration in June. Otherwise, attached to my usual logs of what I've been up to, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Graham. Mike, did you have anything? Mr. Gershon?
Yeah, Mike here. I do not. Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. With that, moving on to Section I. And item I-1, Graham, do you still want to table work order number 5?
Yes, I do. I want to hold that for another month. We'll bring that back to you in June.
Okay. So moving on to item I-2, consider adoption of resolution 2020-0527-002, approving a master agreement and work order number 1 with Pate Dawson Engineers Incorporated for construction management and inspection services related to the Phase 1B program.
So this is another big step in our program as we look to get the construction management and inspection group on board. We issued an RFQ for this work in December of 2019. We ended up getting 9 responses in February of this year. Our review committee reviewed and scored each of those submissions and selected Pate Dawson Engineers as the overall highest score from their submission. I've included in the back of your packet the scores, the cumulative scores for all 9 submissions, so you can look at those. Based on that, I expect to bring this back in June for your consideration and approval. But Pate Dawson was aware of our overall schedule and that we were receiving the 60% design submittals on both the water treatment plant and Segment A in May and expected to get the Segment B pipeline submission in the first part of June. And so they were anxious to get on for reviews of the constructability of each of those sets. At the 60% level is really where constructability reviews can have the most benefit. There's still plenty of time as design is progressing to incorporate any suggestions and changes and make needed clarifications as the documents progress. Many times if you get to 30%, it's a little too early. The overall scope may not be fully identified and it's a little hard to offer good comments. 90% is a little bit late, so this is really the ideal time. So worked with them, and they worked very quickly to put together a scope and fee effort to do the constructability reviews of the first 3 packages, I mean the water treatment plant and segments A and B of the pipeline. So this initial work order would be just for that effort. We will work with them on work orders for future efforts, which will include the constructability reviews of the other packages, and then ultimately we'll have individual work orders dealing with construction management and inspection once the projects go into actual construction. Pate Dawson will not have any active effort in the construction effort with the wells, which will be ongoing starting in June, but really once we start with the water treatment plant and the pipeline segment is when their construction management and inspection effort will start. So with that, the master agreement was our standard terms and conditions. They did ask for one change in the insurance indemnification section, worked through that with Mike Gershon at Lloyd Gosling, and got to a place where we are comfortable recommending that to you, and Pate Dawson was comfortable accepting that, so that's one deviation from our standard agreement. Otherwise, the work order has been negotiated for a fee not to exceed $64,280 for review of the 3 sets, participation in those review meetings with the engineers, and providing those reviews. All this information is in the packet. I'm happy to answer any questions regarding their selection of the master agreement or the work order.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. I move to adopt resolution 2020-0527-002.
Tom Taggart, I'll second.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tom. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right, Graham, if you would do the roll call, please.
Well, that's Mayor Houston joined us. Okay, Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Littlebridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Plack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Motion passes 10-0.
Thank you, Graham. And moving on to item I3, discussion of the draft Alliance Water budget for fiscal year 2020 through 2021 and possible direction to staff.
All right, so in your packet is the first draft of next year's budget. I've placed in the packet as well our typical schedule, which is to present this draft to you, the first draft in May. And then our financial policies currently call for us adopting
is now
the final form of it by August 31st. In accordance with the administrative committee's recommendation, we're actually going to try to move that up a month and actually get that all completed by the end of July. So hopefully in 2 months' time, we'll bring back a final version to you for review, as well as I presented this to the technical committee 2 weeks ago. And expect that at your June meeting and the technical committee's June meeting, we'll present this again. Also, we have an administrative committee scheduled for Friday at lunchtime to review the portions of the budget pertaining to employees, salaries and wages, and that information. And so hope to get a recommendation from that group to feed into the final budget. So just a few highlights looking back at the current fiscal year and where we're at. Based on our projections through the end of the fiscal year, we expect our operations and maintenance expenditures to be about $2 million, which is about 10% below the budget amount. Our capital expenditures, about $3.4 million, which is 22% below the budget amount. That's primarily driven by the estimates we had for our debt service for the 2019 issuances. And with the lower interest rates, those initial payments came in significantly lower than we had budgeted. That extra funds are held in reserve accounts and can only be used for debt service funding. So that funding stays in those reserve accounts based on each sponsor's commitments. And then our operating revenue is projected to be about $6.6 million, which is just above, about 1% above the budget amount. So overall, we're in good shape in the current year's budget. Looking forward to the draft 2021 budget, it assumes that we've got a part-time bookkeeper and full-time operator for the entire fiscal year. We have no significant changes in our consultant expenditures. We do include our facility O&M, operations and maintenance, for the first time. That's our Phase 1A booster pump station will be fully online by that point in time. And so we'll have electrical costs, chemical costs, those types of things, which we'll be covered for the first time really in this budget. I've included a $75,000 item for engineering and kind of tagged that for the update to the regional wastewater treatment plant study. I recall we did that study 4 years ago now, and at the time we said because of growth rates and projections, we wanted to review that about every 5 years, and so that's what I kind of earmarked that money for that. Of course, anything would take board action in order to authorize that actual expenditure. And then I've updated all the debt service expenditures to match the actual numbers. Jumping down, I like to do this every year, is kind of see where we're at, based on what I'm projecting for next year as compared to what I thought it would look like last year. And that's what this table in the packet here on page 70 shows. And so last year I projected that the total payments from the sponsors would be about $11.9 billion. Based on this initial budget, we're slightly below that at about $11.4 billion. So tracking pretty close to what we thought it would be, just slightly below. And again, much of that is based on debt service cost and what those actual numbers are going to be. I mentioned the admin committee meeting this Friday, the technical committee. I've had one review of this. Again, they'll have other opportunities in June and July, and I'll bring it back to you in June, and then hopefully bring it to you in July for final approval. With that, I'm not seeking any specific action or direction, but I'll be happy if there's questions or if there's any direction you want to offer. I'm happy to have that discussion or answer those questions.
Thank you, Graham. Moving on to item I-4, consider adoption of resolution 2020052703, naming authorized signatories on the authority's Broadway National Bank and Techstar pooling accounts.
This is housekeeping with the change of our treasurer from Kenneth Williams to Blake Neffendorf. We need to have signatories replaced on the accounts, and that historically we've used just our officers to do that. So if you want to direct me to approve the resolution with a change with officers, that would be appreciated. This is Mr. Robles. I move that Graham do what's necessary.
I second it, Mike Taylor.
All right.
Just to clarify, that's with the board, using the board officers as the signatories, correct?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. Graham, would you do the roll call vote, please?
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Littlebridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
Mr. Allen?
Aye.
I want to back up. Has Mayor Houston been able to join us? Okay. Well, the item did pass 10-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Graham. Okay. Moving on to item I-5, consider adoption of resolution 2020052704. Approving an amended purchasing policy to allow for use of credit cards by the authority and authorizing the executive director to create an account and issue cards to Graham Moore and Jason Beamer.
Great. Hopefully it's fresh in your mind. You might recall in our last board meeting, the discussion and staff was directed to go and change our financial policies to allow for the or provide for the use of credit cards instead of debit cards for purchases by employee staff. And so we have drafted suggested changes to this, which are highlighted in the packet. I'm going to scroll on down to the actual redline version so we can look at those on the screen as well. These changes were drafted by myself as well as Mike Gershaw with Coslink. I think some of the pertinent items to point out is that the credit card would be selected so that they don't impact an employee's personal credit. It would be just on the credit of the authority itself. The balance will be paid in full by the authority each month by the listed due date. If there are any rewards that are offered by the credit card company, that we would pursue the cash back option, and that option would only be returned to the authority's benefit and not to the individual employee's benefit. There will be no cash advance limit allowed on the credit cards. The credit limit for the credit card account shall not exceed $15,000. I took an estimate as to what I thought that would be and give us a little room each month. I don't expect we would have near that level of expenditures initially, but I thought that was a good starting point for us. And then a couple of other items. We would continue to have, we'd have line item bookkeeping entry for each of the for each item purchase, and then as we do now with our financial records, we'd also give you a list of monthly of the financial transactions related to the credit cards. The other change is we increase, recommending increasing the maximum dollar amount for each purchase from $1,000 to $2,000 to not exceed $2,000. So, and then finally, the resolution, as noted, would allow the issuance of cards for both myself and Jason Beamer, following in lines with what the board approved last month. Obviously, we make this change, then we would close our debit cards and no longer have use of the debit cards tied to the checking account. So with that, I'm happy answer any questions.
So, Graham, how did y'all settle on the $2,000 number? I'm not arguing. It just seems somewhat arbitrary and kind of small, actually. Like, if you needed to buy a computer, say, for example, and use your credit card, you could very easily spend more than $2,000. So, you know, how did y'all arrive at that number? Is that the right number? Should it be a different number? I'd like to entertain some, you know, some thought on that from the board.
I'll answer how we arrived on it. And there was not a lot of science put in, into the $2,000. We don't have a lot of large expenditures. Actually, in our financial policy, my maximum approval amount at this point is $3,000 anyway. So if we wanted to match those up, that may be a good way to go.
That would be my preference, is for it to match, because that just seems to make sense.
I agree with that too.
Like, 2,000
is too low.
And Graham, just because it's authorized, you can put up to 3,000, and then that way, you know, maybe you want to have yours at 3,000 and Beamer's at 500 or whatever. You have the flexibility to do that. Maybe you want them both at 3. And I know in our organization we have different credit limits and different credit, you know, purchasing ability depending on who you are.
Right.
Graham, while we're on that, Taylor, go ahead. While we're on that paragraph, is there any issue on being able to make a purchase that's going to be capitalized? Do we want to necessarily have that prohibition? And then I've got two other items after that.
Yeah, I think we have other methods for larger items that would be a true capitalized expense that would be purchased either through an agreement, and therefore we would do it through a check or possibly an electronic transaction, something along those lines, which is how we've handled anything that we've had to do in the past that would be a capital expenditure. So I'm still comfortable with that approach.
Okay. And then my other item, one of the two items, would be the cash advance limit must be zero. Obviously, I agree with that. My only issue is my experience in that is some credit card issuers do not allow that zero limit. Some do, but many require you to have some amount. Maybe it's $100 or $300. Do we want to, in order to avoid having to go back and update this policy, if say Chase Bank is not able to make that change for us, we want to say maybe we must request that the credit card issuer lower the cash advance limit to zero or as low as their policy allows.
Yeah, the minimum, any amount of minimum language.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to dust anyone's britches. It sounded like someone else was trying to talk.
No, I agree. This is Mike Taylor. My limit, because of some things that happened during Harvey, now, in case I need it, is at 5,000. Everybody else's in my organization is at 2,000.
For cash advance, or are you talking about purchasing limits?
Purchasing limits.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the purchasing limit matching up with the authority, you know, seems to make a lot of sense. It sounded to me like what the chairman was talking about was the language in 3324 says the cash advance limit must be zero, but he had encountered some situations where credit card companies don't have a zero cash advance limit, and he didn't want to have to come back and change the language again. But I think the intent is for it to be the minimum, the minimum amount.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'd suggest we change that 3324 to say the maximum cash advance limit must be the minimum allowed by the credit card issuer.
There you go.
That's wonderful.
Or just the cash advance limit must be the minimum allowed. There you go.
Okay. And then the one final item I had was in 337, the credit monitoring for fraudulent activity. And I guess on that, I just wanted to verify with the group, with the board, what they were wanting. You know, for example, we've got two options. You've got the credit monitoring service that lets you know about something, you know, once it's been reported. Say, for example, my card's been stolen and used at Walmart, and I report it, and then you're able to see changes to the credit report, which in my experience for companies, for businesses, the credit monitoring has been poor. The other option that I'm not sure if we're talking about is the transaction monitoring. So, for example, you make a charge on your credit card and you immediately either get a text or an email or what have you updating you right away. And the benefit of that is if there is fraudulent activity, you're aware of it within seconds, as opposed to something coming up on the business credit report that may take 15, 30, 45 days. And I guess I was looking at, does the board want to try to use one of the business credit monitoring services? Perhaps y'all had better experience with them, or were you mainly thinking of wanting to ensure that Graham and Jason are tracking expenses and transactions via the text or email notifications from the issuer? Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, it makes sense to me what you're saying.
Okay.
I mean, for fraudulent activity, I mean, the point is you want to detect that as soon as possible, I would think. So if that's transaction monitoring, I think that's what we should move toward. Or both.
Okay.
Both if we can.
Okay. I think based on that, that 337 probably works as is.
Okay,
any
we'll just plan on,
items on
yeah.
this?
We'll just plan on making sure we subscribe to both of those.
Any other discussion on this?
I have a question, or just maybe a little further discussion on 3.31. So basically, every time, Graham, you want a credit card to go to an employee, you have to take it before the board. It's of my opinion that, you know, it's the executive director's decision whether a credit card should be issued or not. So I do appreciate what you're doing now, Graham, because it's really getting started. But I think at some point in time when we start getting more staff and you have, you know, the need to issue our credit cards, it all falls on the executive director's decision to do that. That's the point of view.
I would agree with him. Yes, that seems reasonable. To
I
manage.
Agree also.
So is that a change that you want to make?
I mean, I can make it right now. I would like to make it now because I think it will. You're looking to hire an operations person, correct? And I'm assuming that operations person is going to need a credit card because it's going to be. Not right off the bat, but, you know, at some point in time. And it only makes sense. We're empowering you to make these decisions. And the way it seems here is like, you know, we're having to make the decision for you. And I'd rather not do that. I'd rather you make the decision when you feel comfortable and they're needed. We already made the limits. We already made everything else. And they would adhere to those. And it's a great policy. And, you know, hopefully they conform to policy. But, again, I think a lot of the, you know, the authority and decision making should be executive director's responsibility, not the board.
That makes sense to me.
I don't envision, you know, us having a whole lot of credit cards. The director level or something like that.
No, I agree with
directors. Sometimes would have that. But But yeah, so I don't see it as a big burden either way, but I'm perfectly happy.
But I'm assuming, Graham, as soon as you have responsibility. Because I'm assuming once you have an executive assistant or the permanent financing person, they're going to need a car to go make runs for you, whatever they need. And you're not going to be there, and so you'll be having credit cards issued, and again, you'll be responsible for it. So just FYI. I'd like to make that change.
Good idea. Any other recommended changes or updates to that that policy?
All right, let me summarize the three changes. Actually, I guess it's really only two changes and one clarification. So item 3.3.1, something like the issuance of credit card to an employee must be approved by the executive director instead of the board. And then 3.3.2.4, again, maximum cash allowance be minimum allowed by credit card issuer. And then the 3.3.7, I don't know that it takes any text changes, but just clarification that the intent is to describe both transaction alerts as well as monitoring of fraudulent activity.
I think it's covered.
You just got do we want to mention anything on 3.3 as far as the purchase limit? Per person,
and the limit is 2,000. Right, thank you.
3,000.
Sorry, Graham, did you say 2 or 3,000?
$3,000 for the credit card dollar limitation.
That would match your purchasing authority. And you may just want to reference that in relation to the policy, and that way if we change it, we don't have to go back to this.
Great idea. Okay. Is that clear, Graham? You got all that, you think?
I do. I think I've got all those suggested changes.
All right. Is there any other discussion on this item? Okay. Then I believe we are ready for a motion if anyone is interested.
This is Mike Taylor. I move that we adopt 2020-05-04 as amended today.
This is Pat. I'll second that.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All right, Graham, if you would do a roll call vote, please.
Well, it looks like we had Mayor Houston was able to join us.
Yes, aye. Oh, wait, I haven't done my oath. May I vote now?
Yes, we will follow up with the oath.
Okay.
So that we get the notarized version.
Okay.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Let's see, Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Scheel?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes 1-0.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Thank you for getting that taken care of right away. I think it was an important item. Going on to I-6, consider adoption of resolution 2020-0527-005, making appointments to the technical committee.
So again, another item where we had Mr. Williams, since he's no longer on the will need to replace his position on the technical committee. By our bylaws, a maximum of 6 board members that can be a part of the committee. Anybody that would be a non-board member on there, if you chose to appoint somebody, would be considered a non-voting member. So with that, right now the current folks that are on that committee are Kenneth Williams, James Earp, Tom Taggart, Bertha Ramos, Mike Taylor, Brian Lillibridge, and then non-voting was Mayor George Holland. Thank you. Again, I'm not aware, as far as I know, that the existing members are still open to being on the technical committee.
I'm good with it. I think I need to replace Kenneth.
Sure, if everybody, this is Pat. If everybody's happy with that, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2020527005. I assume that's what you're doing.
I would suggest that we Bermuda have an appointment on there, so the Blake Neffendorf in replace of Kenneth Williams and reappointing all of us.
Yes.
Concur with that.
Second that change.
Okay. So it was moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All right. Roll call vote, please, Graham.
All right. Mayor Houston.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen.
Aye.
Eight.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, congratulations, Blake. Moving on to I-7, discussion and possible direction to staff regarding possible support of legislation to allow for the use of virtual meetings in non-public health threat times. Great idea, James.
Yeah, this came up from James in our technical committee. And James, I'll let you kind of expand on it. I thought you did a good job of laying that out in the technical committee in the pre-play.
So, you know, I guess, you know, over the years, you know, we've obviously had issues where folks have challenges trying to get to the meetings, and or, you know, a lot of times we are meeting in a central location like Kyle or San Marcos, and the folks from San Antonio and, you know, Chris LeClear, those guys are having to drive in. It's just kind of really opened up our eyes, I think, to the value of the ability to have a virtual presence or to have virtual meetings. And of course, we're operating under the generosity of the governor at the moment. So I wanted to bring up an item for discussion at the board level to talk about, you know, the thoughts or the feelings of being able to continue to have this as an asset or a resource, even if our meetings are in hybrid form where some people are there in person and some are remote. You know, but in order to be able to do that, it would require some sort of legislative change to the meetings and how they're formed, and that would then in turn require us to put that on our legislative agenda for the upcoming legislative session in Texas. So mostly I wanted to get it out there. I know we have several elected officials that are members here, so they probably have some, you know, some opinions about the matter. And then the rest of us, you know, we get paid to be here during the workday, so a lot of our meetings are during the workday. But, you know, for some of the folks that are volunteer or elected officials, it might be a convenience. But mostly I just think it just would seem silly to throw away this completely you know, wholesale, just because, you know, that it's not the way that we used to do stuff. So, you know, I hope that the governor is open-minded, but I'm not anticipating that he would be. And I just wanted to see how the board feels about trying to keep this as an option available to us, and if in, then in turn we want to put this on our legislative list.
This is Mike Taylor. I would wholeheartedly support it.
I guess the only comment I would have, and I'm, James, I'm for it. I don't see, you know, a problem with it myself. I think it makes a lot of common sense. I would suggest that maybe we reach out to our lobbyists, though, and kind of ask them, you know, what they're hearing around this kind of topic and whether or not there's anything we need to be aware of in approaching it.
Yeah, surely we can't be the only ones thinking this, you know, so I suspect there is some sort of conversation. I do know that the last legislative session was not very friendly to local government, and to a certain degree, I'm kind of grouping us into local government, even though we're not. So it may not be the right time, or it may be a waste of energy, but yeah, I hear you.
And even though, I mean, I guess I'll explain why I think that's important. You know, I think if there are concerns about virtual meetings, they're more likely to be from groups that feel they don't offer the same public visibility or access, even though we know these platforms can allow that. You know, discussions on digital divide and other things may revolve around some of those questions. So I think it'd be good to kind of investigate, you know, what may be out there about this at the legislative level.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, James, this is Jane. I don't think we'll be the only ones if this happens. I know that we can do a little bit of virtual now, and I'm not sure exactly what the Open Meetings Act rules are on that, and perhaps it might be good to know that. But is your concern for board members to be able to get to the meeting or for non-board members? Because you mentioned San Antonio.
Well, yeah, San Antonio is essentially where Umberto and those guys are at.
Yeah, but that's correct. I come in from San Antonio.
Okay, I didn't realize that you were that. I didn't realize you lived in San Antonio.
But I don't mind me. I don't mind going over there either. So.
I think if we're gonna do these, it'd be nice to be able to see everybody. And. You know, I think maybe a hybrid. Let those who want to go to a central place. It means fewer little Brady Bunch pictures on the screen for people to deal with. So I'd be for a hybrid for those who can and are willing and have the time. I'm retired, so, you know, I can do it. And then for those that, you know, it is an issue. I mean, I just got out of a CAMPO meeting that started at 2, and if I was having to drive, I wouldn't be in this meeting. I'd have missed it. So sometimes this is pretty cool.
Yep. Thank you, Mayor. Those are all exactly kind of the same feelings that I have about it, too. I know we got council members from Buda and Kyle on here, too, so...
So this is Tracy, Councilmember Shields. You know, I'm good with the hybrid.
Is now exiting.
So, I mean, I'm good with the hybrid idea because usually I can set my schedule where I can meet, you know, at 3 o'clock. And if I'm okay with being in the meeting, then I can. Or if I need to just, you know, log on and do it. I can do that as well. So it's nice for the flexibility. So I'm good with the hybrid idea.
Well, unless there's someone else that wants to share their opinions, or if there's anyone who wants to be on the other side of the argument, I definitely want to hear that too. Because if not, I'm going to suggest to the chairman that it sounds like we have a consensus that we want to pursue and look into this. Not necessarily give specific direction to our lobbyists in as far as taking action right now, but at least putting it on our radar of things that we want to look into, and asking the lobbyist about, you know, testing the water on kind of what the you know, how does the water feel about this topic around the Capitol?
Well, this is Mike Taylor. From the perspective of my board, which is all volunteers from the community, not paid or taking no remuneration, they love it because our meetings are efficient, they're quick, and people won't come into our meetings anyway. They think it's just no need that they can take care of it from home and have to drive in.
This is Graham. I'll let you know that I reached out to our lobbyist group after the discussion at the technical committee, just to put this kind of on their radar screen that we may be coming to them, asking them to do a little bit more legwork to find out whether or not there'd be an openness to the from the governor's office in particular, and maybe some of the other key legislatures to see any changes like this. So it sounds like, based on the discussion today, that's something that this group would be interested in hearing more about. So we'll direct them to come and do that homework. And then we will, obviously, as we get later into the fall, we'll put together our legislative agenda for the next session. And by that point, hopefully we've got enough background data to figure out if this is something we want to help push or where we're going to stand on that after getting a little bit more homework and get some feedback from them. I think that's the direction we'll pursue.
Thank you all.
Thank you all very much. Any further discussion on this item? Alright, hope we can make something really positive come out of this. Item J, board member items or future agenda items. Hearing none, moving on to Section K, executive session. And before I start reading K1, do we have any requests from non-board members to be in attendance?
Chairman, I might offer that there's nothing specific that I want to brief the board on in executive session, but understanding that we've got some action on property, I thought there may be questions, so we certainly can provide. I've sent out a different call-in number if you would like to adjourn into executive session because there are questions. Otherwise, if everybody's comfortable, we could just stay in the open session and proceed to action on those resolutions.
That would seem fine with me. I understand any board members, is there anybody who would specifically like us to go into executive session via the other call-in number? Okay. Sounds like everyone's comfortable with that, Graham. Based on that, do we still need to go into executive session, or could we be able just to start with the individual items?
I think we can move on to item K2, which would be the action, and K2.D, actually.
All right. Thank you. With that, moving on to item K2D, consideration of resolution 2020052700006. Finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 1.528 acres situated in the Moses Gage Survey, abstract number 8, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mike Taylor, so moved.
Tom Taggart, I'll second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Graham, roll call vote if you would, please.
All right, Mayor Houston?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neffendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Scheel?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes 11 to 0.
Thank you, Graham. Next is item K2E, consideration of resolution 2020052700, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings, if necessary, for acquisitions of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 2.062 acres, situated in the Moses Gage Survey, abstract number 8, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mike Taylor, so moved.
Mr. Ramos, second.
All right. Who was the second? Mr. Ramos.
I think I was.
Roberto. Oh.
Okay.
Ms. Scheel. Okay, we've got Scheel. Yep, she can have it.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right, Graham, roll call vote, please.
Sure, Mayor Houston.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neppendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Scheel?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes 11 to 0.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Next is item K2F, consideration of resolution 2020052700, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary, the acquisition of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 6.000 acres, situated in the Esterberry Survey, abstract number 1, Caldwell County, Texas, and establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mike Taylor, so moved.
Tracy Scheel, second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Graham, if you would, please.
I will. Mayor Houston.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge.
Aye.
Mr. Neppendorf.
Aye.
Mr. Ramos.
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Bett?
Aye.
Councilmember Scheel?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Motion passes 11 to 0.
All right. Thank you, Graham. On to item K2G, consideration of resolution 2020052709, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings, if necessary, for acquisition of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 6.269 acres, located in the Esterberry Survey, abstract number 1, Caldwell County, Texas, establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Taylor, so moved.
Tracy Scheel, second.
Thank you both. It is moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right, Graham, roll call vote, please.
All right, Mayor Houston.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neppendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Motion passes 11-0.
Thank you. And lastly, to item K2H, consideration of resolution 2020052701, finding public convenience and necessity and authorizing eminent domain proceedings if necessary for acquisition of a permanent pipeline and right-of-way easement totaling 2.512 acres located in the Esther Berry Survey. Abstract number one, Caldwell County, Texas, establishing an effective date and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
I'll make that motion.
Taylor, I'll second it.
All right, thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Graham, a roll call vote, please.
All right, Mayor Houston?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neppendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
And Mr. Allen?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes 11-0.
Thank you, Graham. All right. With that, unless there's anything else, we'll move to item L, adjournment.
Seconded.
All right. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
I'm sorry. Who had the motion?
Mike Taylor. I think James seconded it.
Yep, that's correct.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. And I guess we'll have a roll call vote as well, please, Graham.
Last call for the month. Mayor Houston.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Lillibridge?
Aye.
Mr. Neppendorf?
Aye.
Mr. Ramos?
Aye.
Mr. Earp?
Aye.
Mr. Taggart?
Aye.
Mr. Betts?
Aye.
Councilmember Shield?
Aye.
Mr. Clack?
Aye.
Yeah, Mr. Allen?
Aye.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for your time and efforts this week. Stay safe and be careful. Have a good week. Thank you.
Hey, Graham?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, this is Jane. What do I need to do with this oath?
Dr. Ramos.
Is now exiting.
I was going to send it to you separately. We just need to sign the notarize and return to me.
Okay, because I was pulling out the packet.
Is now exiting.
Didn't get here in time.
Tracy.
So you're going to send me another document.
Is now exiting.
Yeah, I'll